Take a moment, save your life and your memories.
And with that thought, let me remind you that you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock or 6:01, depending on which clock you believe. Either way, it's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah. What?
Oh, what indeed. Well, may you say what, because, oh boy. You know, you said something on the way over here as we were dashing through the parking lot, because we always dashing through the parking lot. You know, we were talking about Trump voters and kind of debating the intelligence of Trump voters, or lack of intelligence, or what have you. And you said something that I thought was very apropos. You said, you know, they're just getting what they deserve. To which I said something that I thought was even more apropos. I don't want what they deserve, because we all have to deal with what they deserve. They may be learning right now what a bad idea it was to vote for this guy and put him in office as some kind of a protest.
Well, I say even if they knew and were voting ironically, they still deserve it.
Voting ironically. I love it.
Well, you know, let's throw Trump in there and see what we can do.
Well, now we know what he can't do. We know all the things that can go wrong. The thing is, you know, you look at them on TV, right? You look at them responding to all this. Well, you know, the last grocery store is shut down, and everyone's on welfare now. But I still believe in him. He's still going to come through. And I tell you what, I would vote for Satan himself before I'd vote for that woman. You know, that is what you are faced with. And how do you counter that? I don't think you can. I don't think you will ever win them over. Yeah, and you certainly won't win them over by denigrating them even further. I don't think it's even necessary to denigrate them. Basically, you gotta beat them. You have to be stronger. You have to play the game better, and you have to remember there are more of us who believe that, you know, leaders of big countries should be competent and fair and open-minded and intelligent. And I know there's a sizable amount of people that don't believe that anymore. But, you know, we have to stop fixating on them and start realizing that we can do this. We can, you know, fight back. We can outsmart. We can win. But, you know, if we spend all our time just focusing on what they said now, and we are going to focus on that because I can't believe what they said now. But, you know, if we spend all our time to the detriment of actually planning and you know, strategizing, or if we you know, turn our cannons towards ourselves and say, where were you on this particular day when you could have helped prevent this, and you are banned now, you are purged from the ranks, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what people love to do. They love to be holier than thou. They love to be pure. And they love to basically point the finger and say, you know, you weren't there when it counted, so you don't count now. And that beats any stupidity that any Trump voter has, I think.
Yeah, and the fallacy there is the assumption that anyone new who was not in the, you know, have political blood on their hands or whatever, aren't good enough. Their assumption that anyone new can't screw it up as much. That is a huge, huge assumption.
It is, definitely.
Just because you're new and different and, you know, haven't got as much of a record in D.C. or in whatever community doesn't mean you can't be a waste or an error or, you know, something that didn't prove out to be what it purported to be during a campaign. Gee, a political campaign. People making promises and not following through when they get elected. You know, this is familiar territory, so we ought not be surprised. You know, be vigilant when you do vote people in. And, yeah, this administration being a prime example. And conclusions were basically from all of this stuff coming out today, corroborating that the president's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a new book. Yet another book is out that tells all kinds of horror stories.
So if he's an idiot, do people who voted for him, are they smart or are they also idiots?
Well, I, you know,
I'm just trying to figure it out. Even that's where I came in with the ironic thing. Like, okay, yeah, they're smart. They know better. He obviously wasn't, you know, going to ever be better than any other politician, but they did it anyway because they wanted to punish the system. Still idiotic.
Well, you know, there have been a series of books that have come out, and one came out today by Bob Woodward called Fear, Trump in the White House. That's one of the better titles, I think. 448 pages long and a must read. I think I might want to get this one. According to this, Trump's closest aides have taken extraordinary measures in the White House to try to stop what they saw as his most dangerous impulses. And you got to remember this, folks. He has the power to do all kinds of things he has not done. And you have to wonder why. And you have to wonder how can you stop something like that? Because, you know, the guy does throw temper tantrums. The guy doesn't care about anyone other than himself. I'm not saying anything that's really that debatable. I think even his fans know this deep down. You have to wonder, how is it that we haven't had some nukes launched? How is it that we haven't gotten into wars with all kinds of foes and friends? How is it that the entire country just doesn't crumble into pieces? It's because people are kind of keeping an eye out. And in certain cases, according to this book, they went as far as to swipe and hide papers from his desk so he wouldn't sign them.
Doesn't sound like a very deep state.
No,
pretty shallow.
Well, yeah, I'd say.
But anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Well, according to the book, Chief of Staff John Kelly describes Trump as an idiot and unhinged. Well, and it's not the first time we've heard him, you know, reportedly say things like that. Of course, he had to deny that he said that in the first place. And, you know, it's wow. I've never seen CNN use the F word before, but they do. I'll read the quote and see how far I can get. Defense Secretary James Mattis describes Trump as having the understanding of a fifth or sixth grader. You know, that's not fair to fifth or sixth graders. Well, you know, we meet a bunch of them at Maker Faire, and they're a lot more intelligent. You know, for shame. That's
wrong. Most of them. But I will say there are some very, very disappointing fifth and sixth graders,
there
too.
There are some very disappointing 50-year-olds, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But I would remind everyone also that Rex Tillerson, the former Secretary of State, was also purported to have called the president an effing idiot.
Well, that's not what Trump's former personal lawyer described the president as. John Dowd described him as an yes, it's N because I'm not using the word. If it wasn't saying just the letter of the word, it would be A. So I'm sort of misquoting here. But he described the president as an effing liar. You know, you see how I have to use the word, the article A.
Yeah, to be grammatical.
It bothers me. I'm an English major. And Trump's former personal lawyer. Oh, wait, I just read that sentence. I'm sorry. Saying that Trump would end up in an orange jumpsuit if he testified to special counsel Robert Mueller. Kelly has been quoted as saying he's an idiot. It's pointless to try to convince him of anything. He's gone off the rails. We're in crazy town. I don't even know why any of us are here. This is the worst job I've ever had. Come on. Now, I don't care who you voted for, but that does kind of make sense, doesn't it? I mean, that does sound like something he would say, and he's pretty much accurately describing the situation. Just, you know, focus on where we are right now and ask yourself, can you see that happening? And if you do, regardless of who you voted for, at least we're on the same page there. And we can say, okay, you know, we need something a little bit better. Now, I don't...
It humanizes the cabinet.
Yeah, it sure does. They are, and that is why, you know, to get away from partisan politics here, obviously I have my preferences as to, you know, who should be running things. But in this particular case, my preference is really that just this person not be running things. I don't care. Replace him with another Republican or a Republican, because I don't think he really is a Republican, although right now I guess Republican is a word that's kind of been tarnished and forever destroyed by all of this. But regardless, you know, I don't think you know, Pence is a bowl of roses by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I've got something interesting about him. But I would take him in a heartbeat, because at least I know he's not insane. And, you know, I disagreeing with somebody fundamentally on almost every topic imaginable does not label somebody insane. It labels them different, you know, objectionable, offensive, yeah, whatever word you want to use. But insane is something we can't have with nuclear codes. We can't have somebody who's insane who can sign things, you know, proclamations and destroy people's lives. We can't have that. And I think, you know, increasingly people on both sides of the political spectrum are agreeing to that. So, you know, I'm not saying overthrow the government and install a different political party. No, we'll wait for the election for that. But I am saying, yeah, overthrow this guy. Get him out of there, whatever you have to do. And the closer you are to him, the more capable you are of doing that. And that is your patriotic duty. That is something that, you know, the whole future of the planet might revolve around this. This guy is dangerous. He's unhinged. Everybody says it. Think about how many enemies you're able to make in the course of a normal day. And then look at what goes on down there. How people who are, you know, right next to him, Michael Cohen, you know, people that are his friends suddenly turn into his enemies. You know, people who are sworn allegiance, suddenly they're his biggest enemy. That only happens with unstable people who are dictators of sorts, who put the fear of the Lord into people and who only have friends because they buy those friends or they scare those friends. This is really a crisis. And, you know, we may laugh a lot about it. We may, you know, get through the day with anecdotes and can you believe this? But in the end, we are really in serious danger because this guy has a lot of power and he can fire Mueller, for God's sake. I mean, think about that. If he can do that, he can fire anybody else who might be able to stop him. It's really, you know, the checks and balances aren't quite as balanced as you might want to believe.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks he can. He would fire him if he thinks he can, but I don't think he thinks he can right now. That could change in, like, the next 10 minutes.
What do you mean he doesn't think? I think he thinks he can do anything.
Politically, he thinks he can. Like, I think he's tried, and it did not test well in the sphere of public opinion. And as you said, there may be many people trying to contain him within his own cabinet, it sounds like. And I wouldn't discount the Republicans and the actions and so on going on around this administration at all. It's something to be watched very, very carefully. And as you said, the replacement's not so good. I'm not a huge fan of Mike Pence. And one word I would add as far as disagreeing with people would be misguided. You know, I think he's misguided on a lot of issues.
Who is?
Mike Pence.
Oh, well, yeah, but he was brought up misguided.
Right.
He came from a town in Indiana called Misguided. I mean, the guy, we are never going to see eye to eye on things. But, of course, he doesn't care about that. The thing is, can we survive him? And, yeah, we can. Because, again, there's more of us than there are of these people. But at least with somebody who doesn't have, I shudder to say it, but the charisma of Donald Trump is somebody who's not going to get reelected. It's not somebody who's going to lead us into craziness. Sure, he believes in crazy things, but I don't think he's going to start launching missiles or doing things that will hurt him politically without caring about the consequences.
And if he does, it will be in the name of God.
Well, interesting you should say that, because he was accused of being a Christian supremacist. You know how he countered that. He was asked recently what he makes of a new critical biography that calls him a Christian supremacist. He quoted the Bible. Yes, he did. The Bible says, "Count it all joy when you endure trials of many kinds." Anytime I'm criticized for my belief in Jesus Christ, I just breathe a prayer of praise. Okay, you know what? You're kind of proving their point right there.
Is that like Akbar Allah? Or?
I don't think so, no. Although, you know, what I wouldn't give to just have what's known as, kind of like a student exchange program, but like a president exchange program where you send one of our politicians over to live for a year in a country that they consider evil incarnate and see what they learn, see what they come back with. And they'll probably be like an ISIS fighter by the time they return.
No, Pence does like a Syria abroad, like goes and like hangs out with Assad for a little bit and, you know, learns about his country. And
I don't think they don't have a lot in common, because they do.
They're very similar.
Tactics are. And what would these people be doing if they were in Assad's position right now? What
Gassing?
Do you think Trump would be doing?
Gassing.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. So that's what's scary, and that's why, you know, people on both sides of the spectrum kind of need to work together on this part of it. Yeah, we'll be at each other's throats later on, but getting this guy out of harm's way is you know, the most important thing that any of us can be doing right now. And, you know, this whole Kavanaugh hearing thing, which was taking place today, that is another danger to our country, because, you know, this guy is young. I was watching him on TV earlier, and he's going to be around for quite a while. And he is going to steer us in directions that most of us don't want to go in. And simply because the majority of the Senate, by one, is on Trump's side, that's why this guy is going to get in. It used to be you had to have 60, but now it's you know, a mere 51. That is disturbing. That is disturbing that, you know, documents have not been released. We don't have a lot of information about this guy that normally you would get. he's being rubber stamped. And that's a danger because that's something that's almost permanent. We're talking about decades where this guy will be interpreting law. And, you know, just something that happened today. First of all, you know, Fox is all in a tizzy about this because they're basically upset at all the
truth.
Well, I guess you could call it that. But the headline, Brett Kavanaugh vows to keep an open mind in every case after chaotic confirmation hearing day. Yeah, they're upset about the chaos because there were demonstrations. There were
– Speech?
There was speech.
Oh, no, not speech.
There was
God.
Protests from Democratic lawmakers and demonstrators delayed the formal start of proceedings by more than an hour. Within moments of Tuesday's confirmation hearing kickoff, top Democrats tried to sideline the session with a rapid-fire string of objections concerning access to the nominee's records, as in, we don't have it. You know, I don't understand why that's even an issue. Of course you should have access to everything. This guy's going to be on the Supreme Court. Yeah, you know, we need to know all kinds of details about him. And for the White House to simply seal all of that and make it unavailable, why? What is it that you don't want them to see? That's really, really disturbing. We basically had all kinds of things there, but nothing compared to seeing what this guy did when the Parkland father, Fred Gutenberg, was in the room and introduced himself to the guy. And tried to shake his hand. The guy, look at this. Look this up on the web. You will see the video. The contempt in Kavanaugh's face when he hears who this guy is, and the way he just coldly turns on his heel and walks away from him. This guy lost his daughter at Parkland, and has been, you know, on a campaign ever since, you know, to have us rethink gun laws. And craziness like that, and you know, you may not agree with it, but God, you have to respect that. Look at how this guy treats him. Look at how he just looks literally down upon him. This guy who has been through an unimaginable tragedy and somehow is able to stand up and articulate his position and listen to people who disagree with him, but wants to have the dialogue. That is what a justice should be all about, but this is not what that guy... And as soon as I saw that, that to me, that was disqualifying right there. That's when you say, you know what, get out of here. You are not cut out for this. Can you imagine, and it's not just because the documentary was on last night, but can you imagine Ruth Bader Ginsburg treating somebody like that? Never. She would listen. She would say, Senator, stop. I want to hear this man. I want to talk to him for an hour. You know, we're going to do that. That is what a human being does. This guy, I guess he's human, but man, I would check for, like, you know, some kind of outlet on the back of his neck or something, because that was cold. That was really cold and inhuman and a disgrace. And I hope we focus more attention on that, because nothing is more telling about somebody's character than how they deal with people that they may be on opposite sides of the fence with. And what I saw today was shameful.
Yeah, the like graciousness and warmth, not at all conveyed. It was almost more telling about his state for the rest of the hearing, because he wasn't able to get out of that. He looked so stunned and shocked that someone would try to speak with him. And I don't know if he's just relishing his moment and didn't want to be upstaged, or is on guard for people protesting, or thought it was something like that. But the individual did, you know, introduce himself and was speaking to him very clear, you know, English. It wasn't like you know, any stranger. You eventually would warm and say something, but he completely ignored him. And it made me think he's got other things on his mind and is so preoccupied with probably how the hearing has gone that he can't warm to an individual to politely excuse himself, right? Even he just walked out you know, a diva or whatever.
I'm sure there's audio that will come out of this, but what I saw, you could read his lips, and basically you could see he's introducing himself. Hi, I'm Fred Gutenberg, and reaching out his hand, you know, universal gesture. And even if the guy is saying, hey, I think you're pond scum and I hope you lose, you know, you put on a smile and you take it. But he didn't say anything like that. He was being gracious, you know, and introducing himself. And, you know, when you know who somebody is, and don't tell me you don't know who he is. Of course you know who he is. Everybody knows who this guy is. You know, you show some humanity, you know. Hug the guy. Do something. For God's sake, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe in, that right there would have won my support. You know, I would have said, wow, this guy can see past political divides. He cannot. He cannot see that. And so this guy needs to not be confirmed, whatever it takes. I feel almost as strong as I do about Trump, because this guy will have unbridled power for a long, long time. And he is clearly not cut out for this kind of thing. And it's sad that all the Republicans are just blindly going along with this. All it takes is one. Is it one or is it two? I don't know. They just named McCain's replacement today, and he's going to go along with it. But, you know, if you have a Republican senator, then now's a good time to put some pressure on them to actually do the right thing and keep this from happening. There was an interesting piece in a paper called The Washington Examiner. It's an opinion piece. By a guy named Philip Wegman. Kicked the audience out of the Brett Kavanaugh hearing already. Before the Senate Judiciary Committee really even got going, protesters started screaming about the confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and then they kept hollering and hollering. After shouting into his own microphone just to be heard over one protester with particularly exceptional lung capacity, I want to hear this.
Yeah, she was great.
Okay. Probably know her. An exasperated Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, blurted at Capitol Police to get this loudmouth out of here. And they obeyed, only to remove more shriekers minutes later. Orrin Hatch ended his remarks in a huff, suggesting that all the protesters be removed from the doggone room. When's the last time you used the word doggone? Well, I don't think I've ever used that word. And according to this opinion piece, Hatch is right. This is an obnoxious and pointless exercise. The screaming adds nothing to the proceedings, and the shouting will continue throughout the entire confirmation process if the senators let it. The Senate Judiciary Committee should make a standing policy of clearing the room of the entire audience after the first outburst. Well, you know what? I disagree. I think, you know, if ever there was a point where we have to put our bodies into the mix and stop this craziness from happening, whether it's screaming, knocking things over, physically blocking people, putting a human chain around buildings, putting a human chain around cities, whatever it takes, you have to do it. I mean, yeah, this guy says they can stand outside, they can demonstrate, they can write letters to their congressman. Oh, that's great. Peachy keen. Do that, too. But it's not going to get anywhere unless you also do this. So disrupt at every possible opportunity. Tie up their phone lines. You know, send pizzas in the mail. I don't care. Do whatever you have to do to slow this thing down, at least until after Election Day, when we might have some sanity return and people who are actually somewhat balanced might be, you know, inducted into the Supreme Court instead of just political partisans. Because doing that, that is going to ruin the Supreme Court. And what do you think gets ruined when you ruin the Supreme Court? Our entire system. Yeah. It's
they ought not be comfortable.
No. This is just one thing. You know, so many bad things are happening. I don't even know where to start. But
yeah, honestly, I've been a bit down. I've been trying to conjure some cheer and be my normal chipper self. But it's... it's a lot. There's a lot of weighing on my conscience.
And it's understood. You know, it's understandable that that would be the case. I know a lot of people feel the same way. But to quote The Clash, anger can be power. And you need to channel that anger into something constructive, you know, and fight back, because you do have power. You know, you're thinking clearly, and you have a good way of expressing what is wrong.
Yeah, but I feel like I have for like the past decade.
And you don't think it's done any good?
Maybe. I mean, a little.
Yeah, I think your words have definitely, you know, gotten through to some people and gotten other people to say their words, which have gotten through to more people, and I think that is how we do it.
I'm not on food stamps anymore.
All right, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that relates to this, but
do people still get food stamps?
They won't anymore. I can guarantee that if this continues.
Call us if you still have food stamps available to you.
Yeah, you know what? We would like to hear from some of our listeners. I'm a little disappointed. No, I'm very disappointed because we asked for calls and people shy away from having this conversation. I can see being sick of it. Sure. But it's not going away. It's still there. And, you can't just accept things that are wrong. And clearly things are wrong. I don't see how anyone on any side of the political spectrum can argue otherwise. We need to, get past this and start doing constructive things again. So our phone number is 631-632-9872. It'll be open for the remainder of the show. Please call in. No matter where you are, I'd like to hear viewpoints. But, okay, so we're talking about good things happening and bad things happening. Now, good things have been happening. For instance, this guy in Florida was he won the Democratic primary for governor. The mayor of Tallahassee, African-American, Andrew Gillum. Nobody saw it coming. Well, he saw it coming, but not a lot of people saw it coming.
George Soros saw it coming.
Well, okay, fine. Whatever. Whatever conspiracy theory you might have. But the point is, this, is a shot in the arm, this kind of a thing where, not only Republicans, but Democrats are getting a bit of shock treatment because they're entirely too timid. And sometimes you need to up it a little bit and put people in power that you might not have felt comfortable with because, well, maybe they're too black, maybe they're too liberal, maybe they're too socialist, whatever. The fact of the matter is people support change, and you need to have the kind of change that people can identify with. The last thing we need is more of the same. The last thing we need is more middle of the road or compromising with the side that wants to drag us all down. No, we need to fight. We need to fight better, and we need to fight stronger. And this is a perfect example of that. But look at what has happened since. Ever since this guy was nominated, and it was only, a week or so ago? there have been robocalls from neo-Nazi groups bombarding the phones of Florida Democratic voters starting on Friday. This robocall is narrated by a person who mocks the party's first African-American gubernatorial nominee. In a black minstrel-style voice as jungle noises play in the background. I've been reading all kinds of stories about this, and not one news story that I was able to find. I didn't really look that hard, but I wasn't able to find a recording of this. And a number of them said, we're not going to dignify this by playing it. We're not going to spread it around. I disagree. If I had it right now, I would play it because I think people need to see what is being done. They need to hear it because a lot of people don't believe it's happening. And it is happening. It's happening there. It's happening around the country. We talked about that poor woman in Wisconsin who was murdered by, I told you this a few weeks ago, that the right wing would jump upon the fact that the person was undocumented. And that is exactly what has happened. There's robocalls in that state now saying to get all the illegals out and, all kinds of horrible things geared at certain nationalities. And it's led to her own father saying, stop this, stop using her in this way, saying this to the right wing, to the Republicans, because that is exactly what they are doing. As if, a person's, status, immigration status, somehow makes them more prone to commit acts of violence. It makes absolutely no sense unless you're some kind of nationalist who believes that, other races are inferior. It's sickening. And it's happening right now.
Yeah, we have this FCC to thank for allowing such calls. And I agree because you raised the point that there are, a lot of these things going on, but it's targeted. And I think we need to remember how good a lot of the analytics have gotten and a lot of the understanding of different audiences and different constituencies, because in those communities, these calling lists and so on are calculated and they're targeted so that only specific groups or specific communities hear them, and then the question, when other people are astounded by the news of such calls or such positions and politicization of a family in this case and whatnot, it's like it is disbelief, but you need to know that it is happening, and that's the one way, by spreading it and sharing the recordings, sharing the kinds of tactics that are used in targeted ways. Yeah, there's a specific reason you're not hearing it. You're white. You're this. You're that. You're not in a group that matters, but where it does, this is how this technology is being leveraged.
Yeah. You know, it's a touchy thing, I know. And we used to do this a long time ago on a different radio show. We used to call KKK lines because people didn't realize they existed. And it was a way of educating people into seeing just what kind of hatred is being spewed. If just doing that is enough to get more people involved in hatred, you know, then we have a serious problem to start with. And I don't think, you know, this is fueling it anymore. I think the fact that people would be so easily swayed. It's one thing when you see something fake on Facebook and you stupidly believe it and start spreading it around. It's another thing to hear something that you know is hatred and to actively go out and pursue it. Because then you already have issues that, you know, clearly are problems. And I don't think they go away if we ignore the issue or don't actually show you what's going on. This is what Gillum's campaign spokesman said. He said, this is reprehensible. Could only have come from someone with intentions to fuel hatred and seek publicity. Please don't give it undeserved attention. But also said it's important for people to know about. So, you know, it's a fine line. What's the difference between undeserved attention and letting people know about it? Should we maybe not talk about it at all? I think we should. I think, you know, people need to know about this. And I think people who doubt that such things are real need that dose of reality. And hopefully that'll shock us into coming up with something better.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, accuse it of, like, giving it a platform if you're talking about the strategies and the kinds of content specific to the way they're trying to use it. But, you know, it's still it's not the point of the race, not the point of going forward and the win or the activities of the people locally, you know, being heard and making the choice that they felt was best for them.
631-632-9872. Is there a single person out there?
No.
I don't understand it. Is it fear? Is it just weariness?
Despondence.
You know, I will not lose my my convictions, my determination to speak out against things that are wrong, that I feel are wrong, that need change. And I also won't stop listening to people. Whether the people who agree, people who disagree, dialogue is important. So, yeah, you know, maybe we should be talking about celebrities and sports and things like that. Oh, actually, you know, the whole Nike thing is kind of interesting. You know?
I saw a couple of stories, but I don't know anything about the details.
The Colin Kaepernick, basically.
30th anniversary of Just Do It.
Yeah, but embracing him actually, you know, standing up for what he believed in and taking a knee. And there's people all over the place now that are burning their Nike paraphernalia, and that's again kind of dumb. I mean, at least donate it to somebody less fortunate. Nike's decision to use Colin Kaepernick as the face of its latest advertising campaign has some sports fans burning with rage. I think we can do this. We can talk about sports. It's not a big deal, but it's also tinged with social issues. But please, we like to hear from our listeners, too. Your words matter. 631-632-9872, country code 1 if you're outside the United States. People upset with the move have started setting fire to their sneakers, which is dangerous because there's chemicals in those, and you don't know what you're going to be breathing in.
Actually, breathe in. Breathe deeply.
No. Don't tell people to do that. They've been burning their sportswear to protest Nike using Kaepernick to promote the 30th anniversary of, as Kyle said, the Just Do It advertising campaign. That's 30 years old. Wow. The former San Francisco 49er has not played in the NFL since the 2016 season. Is he even still any good? I mean, how does he practice? You know, does he play with kids in college football? I think he should join a CFL team in Canada. What's wrong
why?
With that?
Wait,
why not? You know, the CFL will let him kneel, I'll bet. And plus, they never play the national anthem of the United States up there anyway. But why not? I mean, just at least stay in shape and see how other people played this stupid game.
Are you kidding? This is like him being on two teams. Do you understand?
What team is he? He's not on a team here.
He's on the Nike team. You know, you understand the kind of money that is?
Yeah, but a lot of athletes are on a Nike team.
He could retire on that.
But doesn't he want to play football? Does he even like football?
I don't think he cares about it anymore.
Does he remember the rules? Anyway, back in 2016, he began kneeling during the national anthem to raise awareness about police brutality against African Americans, other racial injustices. That's, folks, he's not protesting the flag. Not protesting the national anthem, protesting police brutality. And the national anthem is a great opportunity to be thoughtful about these things. And kneeling, to me, is a sign of respect, thoughtfulness, reverence. It's actually harder to do that than to stand up and just stare at a flag. Anyway, dozens of other players began joining Kaepernick, and he has become a symbol of the dividing lines over race in America. The Nike's decision has been heavily criticized by some customers who posted videos to social media of them burning and cutting up their Nike attire. Nike's public support of Kaepernick also risks the wrath of, guess who, U.S. President as Donald Trump. Trump and his allies have repeatedly seized on the issue. At a rally in Alabama last year, Trump said team owners should get that son of a bitch off the field if a player knelt in protest of injustice during the anthem. And Vice President Mike Pence also used the flag to protest by walking out of an Indianapolis Colts game after some players knelt. I mean, it's the same thing. It basically, and he knew they were going to do it, too. So you show up for this thing, and as soon as they don't do what you want them to do, you walk out. So I don't really see much of a difference there. This is not the first time members of the public have protested against brands by destroying the goods they had previously purchased. Last April, members of the NRA took aim at Yeti Coolers after that company cancel its relationship with the gun rights lobby. Some even blew up the coolers, which sell for $100. So I don't know who they're outsmarting there. November 2016, customers of sportswear brand New Balance burned their shoes in protest of its perceived support for Trump. So it happens on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and I think people were burning their Kanye shoes after he came out supporting Trump in that TMZ thing.
Wow.
I think there were some burnt Yeezys.
So, yeah, you know, a lot of controversy happening there in all manner of places.
It's such a waste.
Interesting times. But not according to our listeners, no. That's, I guess it's boring times.
They're mutes.
631, don't call them that. 631-632-9872. Is our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. We'd like to hear from people out there. Tell us we're wrong if you believe that. We'll maybe correct ourselves. Other news. Get this. You heard about the space repair, right? The hole in the space station that was somebody fixed it with their thumb.
Yeah, the German astronaut, I think, or was he German? I think he was German. Noticed it and plugged it with his thumb until they could tape it.
Alexander Gerst plugged it with his finger. See how these stories get distorted?
Okay,
it wasn't a thumb; it was a finger.
Fine, thumb's not.
And then the crew patched up the hole with a rubber plug made from duct tape and vacuum-proof sealant and things like that. Okay, but you know that's not the interesting. Well, it is interesting, but it's more interesting. Because apparently the hole discovered in Russia's International Space Station last week was, I can't believe I'm saying this, likely deliberately drilled to destroy the mission, space agency officials said today. Astronauts last week noticed a drop in pressure caused by a small hole and thought the gap was caused by a tiny meteorite, the country's space agency chief reported. An astronaut ended up using his finger, as we mentioned, to temporarily plug it up. But the hole may have been a cosmically twisted plot to sabotage the satellite, possibly carried out by a psychologically disturbed astronaut who wanted to go home early. That's according to science news outlet phys.org, phys.org, citing experts and government officials. If a cosmonaut pulled this strange stunt, and that can't be ruled out, it's really bad, said Maxim Suriyev of President Vladimir Putin's ruling party to the state-run RIA Novosti news agency. We're all human, and anyone might want to go home, but this method is really low, he said. A drill capable of making the hole was stored on the craft, he said. If the hole hadn't been spotted, astronauts would have run out of air in 18 days. It's also possible the drilling occurred while the space station was still grounded on Earth. There were several attempts at drilling, said Space Agency Chief Dmitry Rogozin. There is a version that we do not rule out, deliberate interference in space. I can't believe we're at this stage. Or, I mean, we're talking about, you know, Dr. Smith on Lost in Space and how he tried to sabotage that mission. But this is real. This is now. This is happening. And we're talking about cosmonauts up there trying to sabotage the International Space Station. Wow.
Yeah. I think this is a great theme from a lot of the fictional stories and shows that we've watched. It comes up on, like, Babylon 5, which we've seen and noted many times on this show, and some of the other shows that I grew up on, of course, Star Trek, and even recent versions of that, as well as, like, the really old vintage stuff like Lost in Space. But you just like with technology and other things, I mean, you know, this pioneering effort, this exploration, this kind of technology is the amalgamation of a lot of human efforts, and there is psychosis, there is things that arise, and you have trust, inherent trust in teams and groups of people, and when you're on a vehicle like that and that exposed and remote, your mind you're really at the mercy of your mind and your state of mind, mm-hmm. and all of your training and so on could turn into could be used in ways that are homicidal or suicidal on orbit, and that potential will only increase as we continue to build and explore and expand into that realm. And I want to critique, as you were reading, this is the first I've heard of it, by the way. I wanted to critique, oh, yeah, you know, why are we running on Russian craft that has holes in it? Or why is, you know, just a side note, you know, the ISS was supposed to be retired here shortly, and it's not. You know, what are we doing to maintain these things or develop even larger and better things that can orbit or become manufacturing facilities or other types of things in space that are on a magnitude, orders of magnitude larger. I'm talking like mega scale engineering. That's kind of, you know, where we got to go. But these risks, you know, the more people, even if it's automated, you know, you could program robots to be building these things in space to do bad things.
Yeah, don't think robots can't sabotage things.
Absolutely.
I've seen firsthand, you know, I can't get into it right now.
It's a constant theme on Lost in Space, the robots being programmed and reprogrammed and then programmed again. You know, here we have like robot arms and other real things on these civilian sort of peaceful scientific craft. And, you know, this is the platform to test materials and systems for the next evolution of all of that. And it's fascinating. And I could definitely see an area of this, you know, psychological states and evaluations and that being a part of medical assessment and just a general threat. Because the astronauts themselves they have the most access to all of that. In the wrong situation could be devastating for not only the individuals on board, but the aim of that it of itself, you know, the scientific mission and peaceful mission. And that's, I think, why things like Space Force can be not so good. I mean,
Space Force, really, we're going to start using that as if it's normal?
Well, you militarize that stuff and it becomes, you know, even more secretive and higher value or higher risk, and you know, if this stuff's happening there, you got to imagine the vetting and the risks for stuff that is militarized would be even more the stakes higher, and the practices of allowing people, different types of people, access to those, to the platforms, would be more stringent as a result of the fears and constructions around that. So it's interesting that we're seeing it in the news as something that has actually occurred that was hypothesized as originally a meteorite or micrometeorite. I'm very surprised to hear that it was it's suspected as a sabotage or at least being investigated. That's really fascinating because it's not unlikely.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could just be a lot of paranoia from Russian authorities, but maybe you have to keep in mind, you know, we might be going up into space, but we're still human beings, And we're going to bring all the drama and craziness that we have back here on Earth up there as well. So, universe, be ready for that. Who knows? It'll happen at some point. Sabotage will certainly happen at some point. But it's hard to believe that at this early stage, we're already playing these games. Wow. Okay, this is literally the last call for calls because I can't believe that we can't provoke any interest in listeners. You know, back in the day, we would have a full switchboard. And I know, you know, people are listening to their Sirius XM and to their, you know, iPods and MP3 players and things. Yeah, okay, so I guilted people into it.
And talking to
But come on already. We're talking about fascinating things here. We're talking about the future of the country and all kinds of other things going on. We want to hear what you have to say. You're a part of this. You're a big part of this. You control your destiny. All right, let's see who's out there. Put the phone over there. Good evening. You're on the radio. Speak up. Can you hear us? Oh, wait. Hold on. My fault. I didn't press the right button. Okay, I pressed the right button now. I'm sorry. My fault. Are you there?
Yes, you do have listeners. People want to call in, but some of us might be driving in the car.
Well, you know, they have hands-free units for you to do that. You can tell your car, just dial this number, and it'll do it.
Too uncoordinated.
I hear you. What's on your mind now that you are able to call us?
So, yes, you know, I wanted to say it's really a good discussion, and, you know, you guys are very up-to-date with all your different things you're talking about, including the Nike issue. But I wanted to tell you my opinion on one small point, which was when you were talking about replacing Trump with Mike Pence.
Okay.
Which is, I understand your point of view that if our current president is such a lunatic, he shouldn't be in charge of any of the offices of the executive branch. But that having been said, I feel that Mike Pence is not particularly different in terms of some of his apocalyptic views.
I hear what you're saying as far as, you know, Judgment Day and all of that. But, you know, a lot of fundamentalists feel that way. That's really the only reason they support Israel in the first place is because they feel that's part of the prophecy and that's, you know, the end of times. But it's always something in the distant future. I don't ever see them actually saying, okay, now is the day. Today is when we're going to blow up the world. Whereas, you know, I don't have that much difficulty picturing Trump just getting upset at something and nuking everybody. And that worries me.
Yeah. No, I do understand that point of view. I think I beg to differ with you on this. I think that Pence is nearly as able to do something rash. And I feel that Pence, worried to replace Trump, could get reelected.
You think? Trump, you think he has any charisma?
I would. It doesn't even matter. I don't think the charisma factor is an issue. I think he's a blank slate upon which all of these other right-wing agendas can be written easily, and he can carry them out effectively, unlike Trump, who can't get anything done at all, with the exception of getting these
He's able to fire up the crowds, and I think that's the only reason that he's in power now, is that he's able to fire up crowds and convince them that he's the answer. And I don't think Pence can do that. Yeah, you're right. Pence is more capable and will be able to pass more things through. I just don't see him as being able to evoke the same kind of emotional reaction that allows him to stay in power, that allows people to blindly follow him, and that allows people to be afraid of him if they don't. And that's what worries me about Trump.
Yeah, no, I agree. I understand what you're saying. I just think this guy can be a real goer. Once he gets in there, he's not getting out. I really, truly believe that. I mean, hey, George W. Bush got elected. The guy had no charisma whatsoever.
And doesn't he look good now, which is really frightening to me.
I know.
The guy
started to like him.
He started a war responsible for the death of a million people. And, you know, I was saying, I was actually kind of reminiscing when I saw him at McCain's funeral, and I had to slap myself. What in God's name is wrong with me? But that is what having a lunatic in power for 2 years will do to you.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, we're all starting to miss him, you know, and you'll see his paintings and you go, gee, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I don't miss him. I miss Obama for sure, but I don't miss him. But I would take him in a heartbeat over. And that's really what it comes down to is, you know, would you take Trump over Pence? That simple question.
I,
They would. I would guarantee you.
To your,
they will take Trump but over Pence
will
any
you,
day
though.
Of the week.
Will
oh,
you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. As I said, I would say keep Trump in there. I don't think he'll ever get reelected because people are going to come out of the woodwork to try to defeat him. But with Pence, I honestly believe that man, if he gets in there, he could get reelected. I really do.
One thing I would say is that Pence is a snooze. Like, he is boring. This is the charisma thing. And because of the hyper, I don't know, the voluminous and like hyperactivity of this current administration, I think there would be a significant withdrawal from the electorate. And they have been so sort of desensitized that boring aspect of his him replacing Trump or even running again. And speaking of running again, I would say that we can't underestimate the accountability that will be directed at him for allowing an alleged Trump presidency to occur and everything that occurred under him. I mean, where was he as vice president in leading the country? I think there is a lot that he has to answer to. And I think that the opposition in his re-election, alleged or hypothetical re-election, would be fierce.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think it's an interesting point. I would add that, okay, so you guys are talking about Trump's charisma. Now, we know that a lot of these people who voted for him were not frequent voters. And, in fact, they were people who may have never voted before, quite a large proportion.
True.
Of his support. So if you have your, say, 33-34% Republican base, right, but not all of them liked Trump. Some of them did not even vote at all. Mm-hmm. So then you put Pence in there, and then the people in the middle, the kind of independent, the quote-unquote, you know, mythical moderates, independent moderates, could, depending upon how far left a Democratic candidate was or was perceived to be, these independents could swing to Pence.
Well,
this is what bothers me.
Yeah,
it's not people who were Trumpsters per se, hardcore super Trumpsters for which any fact, reality, or, you know, outward manifestation of the world has an effect on their brains. We're not talking about those people voting for Pence. We're talking about normal humans with a brain going,
right,
I don't want to vote for Elizabeth Warren, or I don't want to vote for, you know, Bernie Sanders' successor.
Listen, we're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately, because
we're
out of time. But thanks
great
so much
job,
for
guys.
Calling. Thank you very much, and hope to hear from you again, and hope to hear from more listeners. Thanks, everybody, who called in that we couldn't get to. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. We love getting mail from listeners. And we will be back again next week, hopefully taking more phone calls. We love hearing from you. It makes all the difference in the world. You have a voice. Have a good night.
Tears on your blackmail, return to ransom. A part of the fingernail says it's a
hand